the idea that says that IT offerings and cyber offerings and security offerings are changing. And in that changing, the business of cyber integration is different than systems integration. And somehow, somebody, and we think it's us, needs to figure out how to build trust in the cloud and hosted services. And so you start with a trusted platform, which we call the Cyber Integration Center, which is a working model for quick fielding of trusted cloud and trusted hosted services.
And so we've seen people, a lot of particularly government agencies, building their own cloud because they don't trust that. Is this different than that?
Well, we think it is because you have to start with a trusted platform. And to that, we had an announcement earlier this week that said that we bought CygnaCert out of Portland.
Yeah.
CygnaCert out of Portland is a whitelisting capability. And in fact, it is the only software supply chain SCAP validated solution. SCAP stands for the Security Content Automation Protocol. We believe that gives us supply chain integrity with data. We all talk about supply chain integrity with hardware and software, and many people understand what that means. But we believe that you've got to marry the supply chain integrity of hardware, software, middleware with the supply chain integrity of the data to a trusted platform, such as the facility that we just bought.
So it all becomes very integrated, truly an integrated system.
Correct, yeah. Correct. And we think that what's changing is things as a service, infrastructure as a service, security as a service, identity management as a service, application development as a service, all of those kinds of things for hosting that organizations, both commercial and government, will need in order to provide great agility and great efficiencies that would take them too long to do in-house.
And so this is a center that you're actually building.
Correct.
And
there is a great number of square feet under roof right now. It'll potentially be 141,000 square feet.
Wow.
And we are building out about 90,000 square feet of it the remainder of this year to provide offerings to potential customers later this year.
Eventually, this would be something that your customers, the federal agencies, would buy. How would it work?
Sure. Well, it would be we need to marry a database with an application stack, whether it is an operating system, whatever, and we need to have it to have this degree of reliability, this degree of protection, this degree of access. We want to control this, you know, and lay out the elements of what they would want from a hosted service that they couldn't provide themselves.
Is this something that you've been getting push from a lot of clients, a lot of customers, a lot of agencies saying, hey, this is a service that we need? Or is this one of these things that you guys said, like the iPod? Is this an iPod thing where people don't even know that they need this? And once it's out there, they're going to go, I can't, how did I do my job before?
Right. I wish it were like the iPod, but we think it has great potential. And the great potential is that in our business, we've been talking about cloud and hosted services for some time. And as you mentioned, there's not a trust out there, either in the private or the public sector, that says that how can I trust this and what are my levels of security and all those kinds of things. And so we're creating a business model around a trusted platform with a trusted supply chain integrity, not only of the physical part of the Cyber Integration Center, but also the data part. And that's where CygnaCert, our new acquisition, which we announced earlier this week, really comes into play. Because we believe it gives us the capability to provide that supply chain integrity of the data.
Yeah. It's almost baking security into the data as it goes along.
Exactly. Yeah. And CygnaCert's major patents have to do with a technique we call whitelisting, which says what is permissible.
Yeah.
And we have the largest global signature cyber database in the world, and we collect cyber signatures against which to compare data to the tune of about 5 million a day. And so this is how we're going to ensure the supply chain integrity of the data. See, it doesn't do you any good just to get focused on the hardware software, because as we're learning, the advanced persistent threat attacks in other kinds of ways.
Yeah. And how soon will these services be available to agencies?
We are looking at opening the doors and being able to compete later this year. Again, we don't have a lot of infrastructure to build, but we do have several phases in which to equip and man the Cyber Integration Center. It happens to be within 120 nautical miles of Washington, D.C., so we think it's convenient to the center of cyber concerns in the United States, but yet it is not immediately in the immediate area of Washington, D.C., so as to pose risk for purposes of disaster recovery and those kinds of things.
Not on K Street or something like that.
It's not on K Street.
Related but unrelated, I want to ask you, because there's a lot of buzz going around on this blog post in Wired Magazine that essentially it mostly focuses on Booz Allen Hamilton, but it lumps Harris and all the folks together and says, you know, there's a lot of hype around cybersecurity, and these companies, shockingly enough, this is how they make money. You've been on both sides of this and seen both sides of this and know the cybersecurity concerns out there better than most people. You do want to raise concern about that, but how do you deal with hype versus reality versus what we do know? How do you deal with that kind of issue?
I think that's a great question, and it has a lot to do with questions around ethics. You know, do you hype it so that you create an artificial need and then make money off that artificial need?
Right.
The element of cybercrime is not an artificial need. It is the thing of it is it's so invisible to most of us that it's really hard to see. And so unless you're a personal victim, lose your identity or something like that, it is pretty hard to see for the normal person to see the urgency about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when the dollar total of cybercrime is higher than that of other kinds of crime, then it's a real problem. But there's not a something to fear behind every tree. There potentially is, and so it's a matter of what kind of safety do we want in that arena, and there's obviously a balance between personal rights and capability, productivity, and also safety elements. And every industry, whether you're talking about the automobile industry and transportation, whether you're talking about the banking industry, where you're, you know, any kind of industry, it's good for these ethical discussions to go on. I think that the cyber element only gets typed when there's an incident, and people rally around the incident, and we want to demonize somebody and can't do it, and then nothing sticks.
And part of the challenge there is, we always say there hasn't been a cyber Pearl Harbor or something mm-hmm. like that. But all the data that we do have, of the data that I see coming out of DOD and agencies, more hacks, and what I keep hearing anecdotally is the sophistication of those hacks and attacks, it's much greater today than it was even 18 months ago.
Oh, absolutely, and greater than it was 6 months ago. And again, there's something to remember about the public discourse here. When you're talking about attacks against national security systems or national government systems or such, those things end up getting classified very quickly for all good and just reasons, and so then they don't get aired. And then when you're on the private sector, you know, a company ends up with a problem, except where required to do reporting because of some kind of federal regulation or something like that, companies are very reluctant to make public what's happening to them because it would affect stock price, confidence in the corporation, etc. That's why this discussion of that is centered around Google and several companies in China is very remarkable. It stands out as an exception of a company or series of companies making public things that have not been in practice before.
Yeah, and traditionally, everyone's not wanted to talk about that stuff because of all the bad implications that can go along with it.
Sure, sure. Yeah. And so when there ends up being a choir that comes out, talking about, cybersecurity, or maybe even, hyping it a little bit and calling it about cyber war or cyber crime, or, adding adjectives to it to bring it to life to people, there are probably a lot of people that are looking around saying, how come we're not hearing this other places? Well, There are all kinds of good reasons.
Yeah. Dale Myros, former CIO for the intelligence community, now with Harris Corporation. Anything else I didn't ask you about that I should have?
Chris, this is an exciting time. We at Harris believe that we're skating to where the puck's going to be. We believe that the other competition and other folks out there are focusing on cybersecurity as a wall or a moat or something that is bolted on. There are a lot of innovation centers out there that are doing good work. This is not an innovation center. It's an integration center and a working model for quickly fielding trusted cloud and hosted services for our customers.
And we do see those innovation centers out there, but that's not really what you hope this ends up being.
No. If this turns out being a data center or an innovation center, then we missed our mark. Innovation, we believe, is table stakes, just like we believe that security are table stakes. Just, there are all kinds of things that are table stakes. So what do you do with those table stakes? What kind of business model do you give them that guarantees high performance at a very competitive cost?